Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Before you listen to this episode of Social Geek Radio, please accept our updated terms of use and privacy policy. How many times have you heard that in the past 2 weeks? Welcome to Social Geek Radio. It is episode 22 of season 9. Today we're talking about attribution, multi-touch attribution. With the digital marketing all-stars, today we have Mike McDowell, Director of Operations at Social Joey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And Jim Buckley, Director of Digital Product Strategy at Valpak. What's happening, Jim?
Jack, good morning. Thanks for including me again.
You bet. Absolutely. Before we get started today, guys, a couple of quick notes. Some of the Social Geek team will be at the International Franchise Expo in New York City later this week. It's happening Wednesday through Saturday. We'll be giving it away on 7th Avenue, biting the Big Apple at the Javits Center. If you're attending, please let me know. Would love to chat with you at the IFE. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jack Munson, and look forward to seeing you at the IFE show. Secondly, a friend of mine recommended this because we really haven't done this in a long time, and it's due. We're really trying to grow this show. And I'd like to ask everybody, if you really enjoy the conversations here, please give us a review. We'd love to have your review over at iTunes. So just go to iTunes, search Social Geek Radio, give us a review, and maybe tell your friends about us as well. All right, Mike and Jim, let's talk attribution. This is something that I don't know where and when this came into our vocabulary, but now it seems to be the most important thing that that brands need to know about all the time, especially multi-touch attribution. It feels like the consumer's journey is getting more and more complex until they get to the point where they buy your product. First of all, is that true? Are there, you know, so many more touch points than there used to be, or are your clients still seeing most of their customers coming from a singular place? Jim, let's start with you. Any opening thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think the what's interesting about this whole conversation is that there's always been a lot of ways that folks get your message, right? And I think all of us, both the people listening and all of us, agree that one of the interesting parts about this is before, you never were able to separate and really track individual pieces of media, right? So you'd have an agency, theoretically, and the agency would say, okay, well, here are all the different ways you can reach consumers. What's both exciting and I think terrifying for brands these days is that now you have the ability to figure out, okay, I put up this ad on Google AdWords. I've got this tracking number going to this landing page. And so while, to answer your question, I think quite directly from my perspective and certainly from our clients' perspective, what we're finding is now we're able to be significantly more efficient than we were before. And so you can begin to make a real data, core data form decision around, okay, am I going to spend money on this platform? And if I'm going to spend money on this platform, what is the actual ROI against that platform? And so I think what's been a sea change that I've seen certainly over the course of the last 2 to 3 years in particular, is it's no longer who's the best salesperson now. It's no longer predicated on, hey, I really like my salesperson. It's now predicated on, okay, who's actually performing the best? And frankly, that's a great day for all of us, whether we're advertising on the internet or running something in a newspaper.
Does it feel like a lot of the analysis of this is due to Google, because Google and AdWords were really the place where suddenly we had this easy to get data of, you know, customer X came in on Friday and, you know, clicked this, went to the landing page, bought that. Was that really sort of the genesis of this, or has it been around longer than that?
I think it's been around, and I'll be interested to see what Mike has to say about this, but I think it's been around for a really long time. It just hasn't been quite as sophisticated. And this is not a product plug, but we do a lot of work with Marchex, who's really kind of, from our perspective, the gold standard of the race to call tracking numbers. And so there's a whole technological ecosystem now that has evolved over time to support attribution. And I think, wow, that, you know, to steal a phrase from Dean Acheson, you know, Google might have been present at the creation. What we have today transcends Google in a fundamental way. So now you're really looking at attribution in a specific manner that says, hey, I spent dollar X, I'm getting result Y. And that piece of it only improves, I think, improves advertising in the long term.
Mike, what do you say?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has stemmed from frustration from people with digital, right? I mean, we used to report on, oh, well, you got all this great engagement and you got all of these impressions. And there was almost that hollow void of, you know, well, what does that mean? You know, and especially when social kind of broke into the scene and became a mainline advertising focus for people, there was this void of, does Facebook actually work? We see all these big numbers and we see, you know, low cost per click and all this different stuff, but nobody had a way to actually go in and say, you know, this definitely came from Facebook and this is a thing. And, you know, they've grown so much, and to kind of echo Jim there, like, I think the other side of it is that smart marketers anyways have actually begun to take an omni-channel approach, right? So it for a long time in marketing, it was Facebook versus traditional media, or, you know, oh, you should run Facebook because it's way better than direct mail or this or that or whatever. And now we're starting to see companies who are saying, no, all of these things work together. Mm-hmm. And so it's finding ways to make that happen. And then once you do that, as we been kind of saying here, is it's looking and saying, well, what's my ROI off of this piece versus that piece, and what percentage of my budget should go here versus there, and ultimately all of these new tools that are being invented and rolled out, you know, so fast. You know, you talk about call tracking, you know, on the social media side, there's so many things rolling out, specifically Facebook with offline event sets, where you can actually measure in-store actions, whether you know they came from Facebook or not, and Facebook can go back and let you know whether they clicked or saw your Facebook ads before they came in the store. Things like the Facebook SDK, where you can actually see traffic between your mobile app and who saw your Facebook ads and what purchases they've made because of that on your mobile app. There's just so many tools that, you know, 5 years ago just flat out didn't exist, and everybody was so enamored by, it's this cool new marketing thing, and everybody loved big data, but what happened is marketers started saying, yeah, but is it working? And then, you know, all these companies had to scramble to figure out tools to say, like, right, we can actually put a one-to-one dollar value on this thing now. And that's really the thing that I see evolving right now. And, you know, there's a lot of people in key roles in marketing that aren't using a lot of those tools. And so they're still relying on data that might have been good 3, 4, 5 years ago. But today, you know, if you're still working off of impressions on Facebook, if that's your primary measurement for success, you're in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
If you're not using pixels, and if you've got an app and don't have the Facebook SDK built into it, I mean, you're working in a world that doesn't exist anymore for marketing purposes. And so I think it's just a matter of things keep changing so quickly. You know, you got to keep up. And you know, at the end of the day, as Jim said, people care now. I spent $5. How much did I make off of that $5? And that's really what we've got to be focused on and looking at. So.
You mentioned a couple of Facebook tools, and some of these are really, really new, like as in the last 4 to 6 weeks, we've seen some new Facebook tools tracking the customer journey, and there's a new mobile app. You're using that now, right?
Yeah. So the two big pushes that Facebook has made in the last few weeks is the product is called Facebook Journeys. And basically it just is the first tool that ever connected the Facebook ecosystem. And by that, I mean all of the developer tools that used to only be available to the technical side of things that typically your CTO is using. They've now made all of that data easily available through Facebook, where you can now see Facebook advertising and Facebook page interaction interaction and content interaction mixed with what's happening on your mobile app and what's happening, you know, on your website through Facebook Pixels. And you can actually see what customers are doing and what the workflow is and things like that. It's absolutely probably one of the most valuable things Facebook's done, I would say probably in the last 3 years, because you can actually see the customer process. And then the other nice thing is they took what used to be a desktop only piece, which was Facebook Analytics, where you can actually look at your pixel analytics and look at your offline event sets and track all that stuff. And they've now built a nice clean mobile version of that where you can quickly get to it on the road, as most of us spend our time there. You can get to it and you can see performance metrics and measure KPIs and set up things where you know, you can quickly glance right on your mobile device without having to click 30 times into the back end of Facebook Business Manager to get to what you're looking for. And it's really going to streamline that process of getting the right data and making adjustments on the fly as needed in a lot more efficient and quicker way.
And also, I think sharing it with, you know, if you're an internal marketer, sharing it with your CEO, or if you're an agency, sharing it with your client and you know, being able to show it to them, as you said, on the road without saying, you know, wait till the end of the month and I'm going to send you some.
Yeah.
Right? So, Jim, what are you seeing as far as tools or best practices that you're putting in front of your clients on a day-to-day basis? You work with a lot of brands, a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses as well. Is there anything that that you're finding helpful to, you know, sort of show these clients what they need to be looking at and what you're doing for them?
Yeah, Mike made a really important point I want to go back to before I answer your question, Jack, and that's this whole concept of if you're looking at impressions, you're in the Stone Age. I really want to reiterate that for people who are listening, because that is no longer the most important metric. What we're finding is that we're in a situation now where it's about performance and it's about results. And so what we're doing both, you know, kind of across the board with our clients is creating circumstances where you give the client access to more of the data as close to as real time as possible. And I think there's some consternation on the part, not only of agencies, but with digital practitioners is, well, you know, my client really doesn't understand this. I think part of the frustration, I'll be interested to hear Mike's thinking on this too. One of the reasons why we believe we've been so successful in the last few years in this space is because we're removing this kind of Wizard of Oz-ish kind of, that's not a word, obviously, but this kind of Wizard of Oz sensation, right?
That, man behind the curtain, right? Yeah.
Exactly right, right? So I'm going to make it so complicated for you that you'll continue to use me because I've got you spinning in circles. What's exciting for me in terms of the dashboarding products and how we're able to now deliver more or less, I mean, in real time, data all the way down to an SMB is that now you're in a circumstance where people are making real tangible investment decisions, right? They're no longer saying, well, I don't understand how this all works. And I'm sure Mike has the same experience with some of his clients. People will say to us, well, I don't really care. I don't need to know anything about this. And I think as this gets more complex and as there are more channels that you can look at, and there are more people, as we were talking offline before we started, there are people who are calling some of these people literally every single day saying, here's the next latest and greatest thing. If you're not making decisions based on real information about the performance of your campaigns, that's a challenging state of affairs. And so I think what we're looking at, and I know a lot of other people who are serious about helping their clients are doing, is let me give you access to the information. Now, you may want my help. You may want me to explain it to you. And certainly, as Mike mentioned a minute ago, you know, this isn't about once a month. This is, I have clients who say to us, yeah, we really want to look at this on Sunday because that's our day that we're not, like if it's a dentist, for instance, we're not seeing our patients on Sunday. I want to look at what happened this week, what can we do better, et cetera. And so the more information I think we give to our clients as it relates to whatever marketing they're doing, right? Whether it's digital or anything else, the more information we're providing to them, the more powerful the decisions they're making can be. And that's a win for everybody as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I mean, I think, you know, there for so long, as you said, has been this, the word you used was good, Wizard of Ozzy, man behind the curtain, right? Kind of deal. And, you know, you mentioned dashboard products. That's a big deal. I do think there is a level of helping people understand it, but once you get them to a point where they can read it and understand the data, giving it to them, you know, in real time is obviously, you know, best practice and kind of what you want to do. And that's some of the things I love about, you know, some of these newer mobile apps that a lot of these things are rolling out is it's no longer, you know, sit down at your laptop, which you probably don't have with you because all you need is your phone to do your job. It makes it so much easier, and everything's built around the fact that we're now a mobile first strategy company. I mean, we're a mobile first process. I mean, everything that we do is built around mobile now, and making it an app form where it's easily digestible. I mean, that to me is going to be the key moving forward. Is so many people, you see it all the time on Twitter or Instagram, even Snapchat. I mean, people travel and don't take computers with them anymore, which you would have never thought of 2 years ago. Like that would have been like, oh my gosh, you're just goofing off. But you can do so much from a mobile device now that, you know, you can set up full Facebook ads, you can measure analytics, you can set up pixels. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of things that you can do. And those apps like that, I mean, they make it so much better on in our world, the consumer, because we can get data to them. I mean, as you said, as quick to real time as humanly possible, and it does make the customer experience significantly better.
Yeah, I think there's something a little bit psychological, and this is where I go into my salesman mode, right? But if you're talking to your customer about how well they're doing with mobile advertising and Facebook advertising, and you have to pull out a big PowerPoint to show that to them, I think you're missing the point, right? I think you want to constantly show them that, you know, hey, we are thinking mobile first, and here's this thing. As we sit here in the Starbucks, I can show you this on your phone, how well we're doing for you, or maybe how some places we need to improve. And Jim, back to your point, I think that's been the play of agencies for what, 40 years let's make this so complicated and make the recipe for success so complicated that the client's never going to say, you know, we could do this on our own. I think now we're saying you could do this on your own. And we're not going to hide anything from you, but look at how well we do, and let's do this together. And, you know, we'll have even better results. And it isn't about, you know, hiding the recipe. It's about making the client's product and engagement better.
Right. And I would think, and both you guys, I'm sure, have seen this in the press in recent weeks, is that it's becoming more and more common now for larger brands to internalize, in particular as it relates to programmatic display, more and more of those programs are coming in-house. And yep. So the discussions we're having with large scale agencies are, hey, we'd really like to look at what else we can do with proprietary first-party data, not to get super geeky, but what can we do with proprietary first-party data that's different than what I'm going to get if I'm using BlueKai and one of the trading desks? I can do that all day long. Where brands get interested is where you say to them, okay, here's kind of the additional kind of twist, if you will, on the data. And so the more I think you let people know, hey, here's everything we're doing for you, and then they get to make a decision, is this a good use of my resources to take this in-house or not? And at least from our perspective, we've found that if you do a great job for somebody and you're completely forthcoming about what it's costing, exactly what it's costing them, they can really do a real cost-benefit analysis. Where things get hairy, and this is more a personal opinion than anything else, but where things really start to get hairy is when a client looks at you and says, you know, I don't really know what you're bringing to me. I don't know what that value is.
Except an invoice at the end of every month. Yeah. Yeah.
Jack, that's so correct, right? But if I'm showing you all along, hey, by the way, you could go do this on your own whenever you want, I think folks feel like, okay, these people are being, you know, completely transparent. We use the word transparent I think a bit too much sometimes, but as it relates to attribution, the more transparent that you can, and for those of you who are listening who are with brands, this is something to force people to do. If you don't feel like your agency is being transparent or who's providing you services is being transparent, there are plenty of people out there who will make this easier rather than harder for you. And I think that's the part that what I would call some, this is, I don't mean this pejoratively, but some lazy agencies who've kind of gotten used to, hey, we're smarter than everybody else. Okay.
Yeah.
And I won't mention any names, but I'm in Chicago and I'll let you do the math on that. right. But
I know where they all are. I'm going to guess they're all on Michigan Avenue.
And again, at the end of the day though, what's super important is that I think when we go back to the original question, right, about is this something new and did this come out of Google? I really think part of it is, and the exciting part about it as a practitioner, is that people are feeling empowered, right? This is why the web was designed in the first place, right? So clients and individual businesses now feel like, hey, I can really do something with this rather than it being a necessary evil. I mean, Mike, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, and I think specifically in the franchise industry, you know, the big thing that I look at when I see that is a lot of times when they internalize a lot of this stuff, they're looking at the typical agency model and saying, we're way more efficient than you are at executing this, so we can actually do it cheaper than you and just as good by bringing people in-house. And that's really the thing that, you know, that when we started building our model, we looked at and said, you know, where are the pain points in efficiency in public relations, in content creation, and ad development, and built to those things, because ultimately, you know, franchises operate on such a, well, parts of franchises operate on such a small budget that it's really, you know, who can do this the most efficient at the highest quality for the least money. And if they feel like they can do just as good of a job internally as you can do from outsourcing, they're not going to continue to outsource. I don't care how much they like you, because they're working off of finite budgets, and, you know, that's not going to change anytime soon. And so, you know, the agencies is kind of, you've talked about it, that are looking forward and saying, you know, what's the new thing coming down the line and how can we be better prepared for that than, you know, the 30-year-old or the 25-year-old that these guys can hire? How can we do that more efficiently and at a better price point than what they could bring another person in and dedicate to that with a yearly salary? And that's ultimately going to be the sticking point for agencies moving forward is how do we continue to provide a quality service at a strong price point that makes more sense to use us than just bringing on another staff member? And so, especially in the franchise space, I see that. But yeah, so, I mean, I would agree with you 100% that ultimately, the more transparent you are, if you're providing value, you should grow. And if you're not providing value, then they should cancel service with you and find something that's going to be better for them. And, you know, that's a core component of something that, you know, we always try to put forth to our clients. And Jim, I know that's true for you guys as well, is ultimately, if you're not providing value, don't give me your money. You know, if we're not helping, we don't want your money.
Serve the client. Gentlemen, we've got to cut it off there. I think we have a topic for our next month All-Star discussion. Goodbye agencies, hello consultants, perhaps. we'll pick it up there. Mike McDowell, Director of Operations at Social Joey, Jim Buckley, Director of Product Strategy at Valpak. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining Social Geek Radio again. We will talk to you both very soon.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.